morning when I got up, one of the little girls thought that I wasn't properly dressed. She came and gave me a bow tie, which I think would go quite nice. See, I wore a tie last week for the first time in quite a while, and I guess she thought I was quite underdressed this morning. So I needed a bow tie. And it's even got a little sparkly diamond in the middle, which, of course, all good bow ties have. John chapter 17, and I want to give you just a little bit of background. I just felt like I wanted to preach on joy this morning. And so we're taking another break from 1 Samuel, one more Sunday. And then John Van Rye will be preaching for the next two Sundays. What a joy. I cannot wait. Right, John? Amen. So in John chapter 17, Jesus is just about to go to the cross. And before he goes to the cross, he prays for himself, and then he prays for his disciples, and then you and me. He prays for you and for me as he's just about to die and go to the cross. And he really prays three things. He prays that as a church, God's people would be unified, we'd be glorified, and then we'd be satisfied in him, verse 13. So when Jesus prays that we'd be satisfied, what he's praying is that we'll have his full joy. And so, friends, it makes this question come alive for us is, do you have joy in God? You might say yes. And then my second question would be, how much do you have full joy, real joy in the Savior? And if not, how do you change your heart, which is often joyless, to really be full of joy in Christ? And that's what we learned today from John 17. So if you'll read with me, I'm going to read John 17, the high priestly prayer, verses 13 to 15. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that Jesus prayed for our satisfaction. He prayed, God, for us to be satisfied by having the same joy that he has enjoyed for all eternity in the Father. That means we have an incredible capacity in Christ for to know and to enjoy the pleasures of God. Lord, I pray this morning that we would have a greater desire to know those pleasures in Christ. Lord, open our hearts up to knowing you in a more delightful way. And I pray this for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, two of my favorite hymns have something in common. Praise Him, and To God Be the Glory were both written by the famous Methodist hymn reader, songwriter, Fanny Crosby. And what I think is really remarkable about this wonderful woman of God is she wrote 8,000 hymns. That's just a few less than most of us. And most of them were written about this idea of joy and praising and worshiping Christ. Now, she lost her sight when she was 5. Okay, so she knew sight for 5 years, and then she lost it. And what I think is incredible is at the age of 8, 3 years after she lost her sight, she wrote this resolution that her soul would pursue joy in Christ regardless. This is what she says. Oh, what a happy soul am I. Although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world contented I shall be. How many blessings I enjoy that others don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot, and I want. Notice, she certainly has trials, but how does she persevere? It's because she knows this incredible joy in Christ. So friends, I want to ask you this question this morning. How is your joy in Christ? Someone asked it like this to me, Rusty. He said, Rusty, do you find sometimes that you just want to raise your hands and rejoice in what God's doing for you as you walk down the road? Or maybe that's not where you are right now. And I said, no, that's not where I am right now. Where are you? How's your heart of joy? If you've lost that, which we do from time to time, some of us have never known it, then what you'll find is your trials have become incredibly difficult and heavy upon your shoulders. Let me say it like that. If we lose joy in Christ, it is no small loss. Without joy in Christ, we become very weak spiritually. Trials become very heavy upon our shoulders. And a heart that once longed to worship now comes to great opportunities for worship and seems to lie dead like a stone in the creek. And obedience becomes a dead duty rather than a joyful delighting in pleasing the Father. Now, in John 17, Christ prays against all of that, and he prays for you and for me that we would know his joy, not just a joy, but his joy. So if you've lost that joy, how do we regain it? And here's the main idea today. If we could go just one more slide. That fellowship with Christ is the fountain of joy. Okay? Fellowship with Christ is the fountain of joy. And that's what I want to unpack for a joyless heart like mine. Now, we want to start with this. Jesus' joy. Okay? Jesus' joy through fellowship. Look at verse 13 with me in your Bibles, please. Here's what he says. That they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And when you come across that, the first thing you should be asking is, okay, when you say my joy, what is your joy, Jesus? It sounds good, but what is my joy? John 1:18, I'm going to try to put together a few pieces for you. This is what he says in John 18, which is kind of the source of his joy. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. So, listen, the condition of Christ before he became man was in the bosom of the Father. At his side, that is, there was a oneness, the deepest union and connection between these two incredible persons for all eternity. So what did that look like? Psalm 16:11, let me read this to you. In your presence, God, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So God is the fountain, the ocean, and the center of all delights and joys. God is the fountain, the center, and the ocean of all joys. And so to be in the presence of God is to be in the presence of all delights and joys. So let me say this about Jesus' joy. Jesus' joy before he became man was never interrupted. Not for a moment. It was constant delight from everlasting. You see, the fountain of God's delight never stopped flowing from the Father to the Son. He was constantly in the presence of the fountain of real joy. And so every day the Father and the Son enjoyed the greatness of each other. Now, we'll say this also. Not only was it never interrupted, but Jesus' joy was always full. At the right hand of the Father is fullness, complete joy. Where is Jesus? He's at the right hand of God, which means quite simply that he never experienced poverty. He never experienced lust. He never experienced grief or shame or condemnation or fear or assault from others. He never knew death, you see, until he left home. Matthew 8:20. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus went from the greatest comfort and delight, knowing it from all eternity, to being homeless. Okay? For all eternity, the Father had embraced the Son with joy. He'd never hidden or withdrawn himself from the Son until Jesus stood in your place on the cross. And then suddenly he found this God who had infinitely loved him, wounding him, forsaking him. And Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? For the first time ever, there's a separation. The fountain of delight is cut off from the Son. My grandfather was the captain of a PT boat in World War II in the Philippines. He was a very strong man, and he had to stay up for hours and hours and hours on this boat, and he had to take some very hard medication in around 1943, 1944. And so when I knew him, he shook. He shook. And when he drove a boat, his jaw shook, and slobber went everywhere. He shook. His whole body shook. He had his first heart attack in his late 40s. He had his second heart attack in his 50s. And when I knew him, it had been 25 years. And he had his third heart attack when I was 15 years old. And I'll never forget going to the hospital and my mom saying, he'll see you now. My brother and I, who loved him dearly. He was the only man of God in our life. And we went in to see him and we held his hands. And I'll just never forget him fighting with me. Holding, gripping, shaking, gripping my hand because he loved the fellowship that he had with his family. He loved the union and the communion that he had with us, and he didn't want to leave it even though he was a Christian. Now, to this day, I miss my grandfather deeply. There's a hole in my heart that'll never be filled. I think about him often. I carry his picture in my journal because he prayed for me. I would come in drunken at 14, 15, 16 years old, and he would be praying for me on the ground at 3 and 4 in the morning. He shared the gospel with me, and he deeply loved me. And it was one of the hardest breaks in my life to see him die and go be with the Savior. Now, how much closer was Christ to the Father's heart than any human relationship? And he freely parted with the Father because he loves you, you see. Friends, how much does the Father really love you? Enough to give his greatest delight of his soul to stand in your place on the cross and then to withdraw his presence from him and then turn his loving, joyful hand to a hand of wrath and anger to wound and crush him. How much does the Son love you? Well, he loves you so much that he freely left the fountain, ocean, and center of all delights, which he had known from all eternity, to stand in your place, a place of judgment on the cross, because he loves you. And he wanted to show you that love and save you. Now, I struggle leaving a good town to go live in a bad part of town, much less be homeless. I struggle being away from my kids 1, 2, 3 days, or my wife. You see, God loves us so much, we must forever be in amazement that he loved us so much that he separated and came to the cross. That's the first thing we want to see. The joy of the Father given to the Son. Second is this. Our joy comes through fellowship. Now let's turn to you and to me. Our joy, where do we receive the joy that he promises, and it's through fellowship. Look there in your Bibles at verse 13 with me one more time. He says that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Now, the Greek word fulfilled, you see fulfilled there in your Bibles, that little word fulfilled? The Greek means something to the effect of to be filled or made full. And so notice, he prays that your life would be full. And you say, full of what? My life's full of a lot of things. What does he want my life to be full of? He wants your life to be full of his joy, which means he wants your life to be full of what he had known from all eternity from the Father. Okay? Now, it's so important to him that he repeats this three times in the upper room before he goes to the cross with his disciples. John 15:11. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. I want you to have full joy, disciples. John 16:24. Asking you'll receive it that your joy may be full. In other words, just before he went to the cross, he says it three times. I want you to have full joy. My joy, you see. Okay, Rusty, where does that come from then? Well, let's skip into 1 John and listen to what he says in 1 John 1, verse 3 and verse 4. He says it like this. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, and we are writing these things to you so that your joy may be complete. In other words, John has experienced the joy that Jesus told him about three times in that upper room. And now he's pointing us to the arms of the Father. He's saying, it's the Father's arms where you'll receive this type of joy. It's fellowship with Him, brothers and sisters. You know, hey guys, I'll never forget, I was traveling in Asia with a group of people, and we had a fairly important meeting. It was with the heads of education from this department. And they put on a huge meal. We had the best. We had lamb's tail, which is a big ball of fat, right? We had some horse ribs, which is not very tender, and a few other things, which I won't tell you, which a couple of them went into my sock as I left. Now, after the meal, old missionary trick. After the meal, they did something that was the custom of the land. They had a glass about this big, and they filled it fairly full of vodka. And then they pass it. And everybody takes a sip, and they pass it. And after everybody takes a sip, they refill it. Okay? Well, the problem was there were three Christians in that room who were missionaries who made a promise that we wouldn't have any alcohol while we were in this country. So he passes it to the first, and he goes, passes it back, they top it up. Passes it to the second, he goes, they top it up. They pass it to me, and I'm just like, whoa, it's so full. Of course, I do the same. I hand it back, and the guy completely tops it up to where just to look at it, it would overflow. It was so full, you say. Now, that's what Jesus prays for you. Not full of vodka, of course. He prays that your life and my life might be full of His joy, you see. See, let me say it like this. You were designed for something. Just like a Lamborghini was designed to go fast, you were designed for joy and for pleasure. And the problem is we seek it in all the wrong places. The world has convinced you and convinced me that this object or this position or this beautiful wife or handsome husband or this automobile will give you the joy that you really want. And so we drink and 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 we drink. And we find that our hearts are never full of joy. Now, I want to read to you a C.S. Lewis quote about this. He says this. Our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea, we are far too easily pleased. You see, God's answer to Jesus is when we become Christians, we now have access to the greatest fountain and pleasure and ocean of joy and delight. The same that Jesus had for all eternity. And before he goes to the cross, he prays, let him have my joy. Let him have my joy. Let him have my joy. So that our cup is fulfilled and we can say no to the lust the world says. I'm already full. That's what God wants for us. and he offers us in Christ. Now, here's the third thing. Third is this. We'll close with this last thought. How then do I have greater fellowship with the Father? Rusty, my heart wants it. How do I have it? Look at verse 13 with me one more time. Full joy comes through his word. And now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world. So, okay, Rusty, I get what you're saying. Now, where does our joy come from? Point me in a direction. Notice what Jesus says. These things I speak. So they come from his word. That is the fountain of enjoying God for the believer by the power of the Holy Spirit in this life. Now, that didn't start with Jesus. It started in the Old Testament. Listen to what it said about joy and knowing God's word. Psalm 19:8. The precepts of the Lord, that means the word of God, the word of the Lord, the law of the Lord, is right, giving joy to the heart. Joy comes by knowing the law, the word of the Lord. Psalm 119:14. I will rejoice in following your statutes, which is your word, as one rejoices in great riches. Jesus says it in John 15:10-11 like this. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love just as I obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Listen, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. You see. Now, why is it so important to pursue this joy in Christ? And I'll say it like this, and we'll close here. The result of fellowshipping and knowing God is always joy. Let me rephrase that. Let me look and see how I was going to rephrase that. Let me say it like this, the way I was intending to say it. The more you obey, grow, learn God's word, the fuller your joy will be. Now let me go where I want to go. Why is that? Okay. Why is it that the word says again and again and again, it's by knowing, studying, meditating on God's word that we really experience joy? And the answer is because the result of fellowshipping and knowing God more is always joy. Jesus knows God completely, therefore his joy is complete. Now, knowing God through his word is joy. The more we know him, the fuller our joy. The less we pursue him, the less our joy and the greater our sorrows in the world. Now, how do we think and live this? How do you take this? Okay, Rusty, I get it. Jesus' joy was in the Father. Jesus prays for his disciples and us have full joy. And then he tells us it's in the word. Okay, how does that go from your head to your heart so it affects the way you live so you actually leave this week, this month, having a greater joy in Christ? And there's two things. I want to encourage you to have extensive knowledge of God. I want to encourage you to have intensive knowledge of God. Extensive knowledge of God and intensive knowledge of God. What in the world are you talking about, Pastor? Well, I always think about knowing God and his word like discovering a new continent that is full of incredible beauties, but it never ends. There are no boundaries. It goes on forever. That's knowing God, and that's his word to us. Now, some of us are extensive knowers of God in the sense that we want to run through God's word. We want to go as fast as we can, chapter by chapter, book by book. We want to cover as much ground as we can. But the problem is we never take time to actually taste the fruit. We see the honey and we go past it, but we can't tell you what it tastes like. Some of us are intensive studiers of God's word, and that is we just stay on the beach and we say, ooh, this is so good right here. This cherry tree is awesome. I don't want to go anywhere else. I'm just staying here. And so we stay on one thing, revelations, end times, whatever it might be. And we miss all this extensive knowledge of God. I want to encourage you to know God. Those two have got to go hand in hand, extensive and intensive. Let me say it like this. These are my last thoughts. Study God to know him more extensively. Without an extensive knowledge of God, you will not grow in grace. Grace and knowledge cannot be separated. You will never grow in grace without growing in the knowledge of God. You will never grow in grace without growing in the knowledge of God. So read to study him more, and the result will be the joy of Christ and what we learn about God. Now, that's half. Here's the other half, and we'll close lastly with this. Okay, Rusty, are you saying that if I just read, then I'll have joy in my heart? No, there's got to be extensive and there's got to be intensive. Here's the second part of that. Study to know God more intensively. This is the power of all of that extensive knowledge to change our hearts and lives. This is the tasting of God, the experiencing of God, the stopping and taking time to taste the fruits, you see, to smell the flowers. It is not just being satisfied with reading about God, but taking hold of God, spending time with him until he meets with you, you see. Study the word extensively, intensively, to know it, to know the depth and height of it, but also to taste God in it. And when that happens, friend, what you'll find is, like Jesus prays, your joy will begin to be full joy. And then there'll be no room for what the world says, come take joy in. Father, I thank you so much for your word. God, I thank you that you want us to have, you've designed us. Lord, like a watch is designed to tick. Lord, like a car is designed to be driven. You've designed us for joy and pleasure, Lord, and you've given us appropriate appetites for those things. The problem is we seek them in the wrong place and we're never satisfied. We just keep coming back and back and back and back and back. Lord, I pray for each of us, God, that we would develop a heart to know God, trust him, and enjoy him in his word extensively and intensively. And then when various lusts and things of the world, sinful things, come at us and says, this is what will give you joy, we can say, no, my cup is full. There's no more room. I already have incredible joy. But at the same time, we can then go enjoy the wonderful pleasures of the world freely. God, we thank you for the grace and the hope that we stand in Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.